Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Onigiri & Co. podcast. I will introduce my guest shortly to you, but for now I wanted to wish you all a happy International Women's Day. I have prepared a little intro about this, so bear with me or skip ahead if you're not interested. International Women's Day was something I wanted to mention in this week's episode because I am aware that in this day and age, a lot of people think it's not needed. Which is great. If you think this way, if you think it's not needed, it probably means that in your day-to-day life, you are fully inclusive of the people around you, regardless of their gender. And in fact, I really hope that in the future, International Women's Day will never be needed anymore. You know, in a perfect world, this would not be needed. But I still think it is needed, though, at the moment. And I'm about to tell you a little story about this podcast, which I've written on the side of my screen. So if you see me looking that way, that's what I'm doing. So here we go. 4 years ago, when I started this podcast, Lexi and I recorded a pilot episode called Social Media, A Cruel or Great Place to Be, as an FPV pilot. And I was happy, you know, it was the start of a new project. I felt like it was what I wanted to do in FPV at the time. And I was proud of it, of the first one, you know, that we recorded together. So I ended up sharing it on said social media. I copied and pasted the link. I went to Facebook. I wrote a quick post that was like something like, hey, if you want to give a go to a new FPV podcast, Mayon Hai and I just recorded our first episode together. One of the first comments, I can't remember if it was the first comment or one of the first comments I got on Facebook when I shared that. And, you know, it's Facebook, so you understand. But it said something like, oh my God, Mr. Steele is so cute. And, you know, I think it was typed in that way, you know, the mix of capital letters and lowercase letters, like, you know, the typical whinging written style. I don't know how to explain it, but I think you know what I mean. So when I first read it, my brain didn't compute. I was like, is this dude commenting about another post? Like, I don't know. Does he know how to use Facebook? I was like, I don't understand. And then it took me a minute and I was like, oh, I thought he thinks that because Lexi and I are women, that's the type of topics we would talk on the podcast. Like talking about how cute the male pilots are. And I was like, what the heck? it was almost absurd. So once the moment of surprise, even like perplexity in that case, had passed on my end, I thought, oh, well, cool, like awesome. This is one more reason to do my podcast. This will show that women don't think like what this exact dude think we think, you know, or we do. Because in fact, we're just like the men in the hobby. And I think it's pretty clear that my brain is not that much different from a male brain, that my podcast is not that much different from the French one, Le Stud in France, or Quadverse podcast, or Dead Cell, or Drone It, you know, all the ones you probably know about. And that's what I'm proud of today. You know, the community accepted my podcast regardless of my gender, you know. I had so much nice feedback in general. And, you know, accepting this podcast, regardless of my gender, is the definition of inclusivity. International Women's Day, to me, especially means inclusivity. It means that in this day and age, I can have a job, a hobby, this podcast that you're listening to, and being respected for it, or at least, you know, trusted from it or understood as anybody would. On top of this, celebrating International Women's Day is a way to honor a special day in memory of all the women who got mocked or abused. Worse, you know, there's worse than a comment on Facebook. Some have been punished, dismissed, mistreated, violented, and all the women who still are, because that's still the case, you know, for some reasons. Even though all they hoped for in the first place was to have the freedom of being who they are, and do what they love, do what they want to do. So yeah, thanks for listening to this. If you're still here, I'm proud of you. Let's move on to this episode with Everest FPV. Hello, Serena, how are you today?
Hello, thanks so much for having me here today. I'm really good.
Yeah, I shouldn't have introduced you as Everest FPV. And also, like right now, we're pretending we haven't talked for already 5 minutes. So, you know, it's always the magic of the podcast. it's a really nice episode. I'm excited about, you know, because I know you are not that far away from me. I hope we can fly very soon together. I think it's 2 weekends away now.
Yeah.
With your partner,
I will meet you soon in person.
Yes, so I feel like it's a great first introduction to each other. You know, it's gonna be fun.
Yes.
And so just to quickly introduce you, and then you can introduce yourself. I've met you through your online presence on Instagram. And also I'm talking to your partner in general because he's a big fan of podcasts. And funnily enough, recently I was in another podcast, like I told you, and someone asked me about female pilot and the obvious got pissed. And so your partner was like, why didn't you say Everest FPV? And I'm like, I'm so ashamed. And I said, you know what? For International Women's Day or week, I'm just going to have Everest FPV on the podcast to make up for it. So Aww. Who are you? Do you want to tell us more about you and who you are as a person, as a pilot, etc.?
Okay. Sounds great. So, well, I'm Serena, Everest FPV for the FPV community. So I start my hobby later 2018 in Italy. So mm-hmm. at that time I was there still. I start with, do you know Frank Citro in Italy? He's quite a known pilot in the freestyle community. And so it teach me, how to fly. And actually, I got his Model 3. So I know it's not common, usually, when you talk with others, I'm Mod 2, Mod 1. You Mod 3. Oh, no. So yeah, I started like that. At that time, I was super fun because, you know, in Italy, there is a lot of bandos. So I love to go flying bandos and just crash him many times. and that's how it started. And then I moved here in Australia. Luckily, the next day I came here, I was in Brisbane, and I just saw someone posting, oh, there is an event, FPV event, we're going to race together. So I just joined them, and he's the guy up in North Brisbane flying. So I start to meet new people and flying with them. Every so often, every weekend, going parks and then later, yeah, it was in March 2019. I just came in Byron Bay just for a holiday, and then I meet my actual partner, Erika. Yeah, so we've been best friends since then, and going out flying with other pilots, and you know, we are a good gang, and we going every weekends, and yeah, we are having a lot of fun. So
awesome.
That's how it started. Yeah.
So yeah, I can tell that you're always flying, and even when you don't share something, your partner shares stuff on Instagram on your behalf. So I'm impressed. You fly a lot. What because there's a lack of bando in Australia, we have to acknowledge it. I have two questions. My first one, do you still find some bandos? And when you don't, what do you prefer? What do you like doing?
Okay, so, well, yeah, it's super hard to find bandos. Yeah, there was one in Gold Coast. I think you flew there in the past with Overflow and, a few people. So that was super fun. But I think now, I don't know, someone told me that that is shadow, like,
oh.
So, yes, since then, I couldn't find any bundles. I'm always looking for bundles, you know, because, so right now, what I like more is, flying away, like a long range. What is like thrilling me so much is the distance, the be able to go up into the mountain and start shaking, start you know, feeling my fingers going like that because you know, you try to trust your gear, but always something happen, and yeah, the farther I go, the farther I got this feeling, you know, that the adrenaline going up.
Wow, I am impressed. That's what you like, because I have never tried long range, because I'm actually scared of it, and I'm like, I don't know if I could handle the pressure of not hearing the quad anymore, almost, and everything like that, you know.
That's also scaring me, but is the fact that it's scaring that is, you know, engaging me more, because it's, a lot of emotion, a lot of adrenaline going just in one flight. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And also I had,
Yeah, no, go on, keep going. It's interesting.
No, the fact is, because I actually lost a drone up in the mountain. So,
oh, wow.
Since then, this feeling is even more and more accentuated, because I have this bad memory.
Fair enough. Speaking of your drones and the one you lost, what's your setup? Do you want to talk a little bit about what's on your drone and what you chose for long range, and do you fly the same for long range and freestyle?
Sure.
Yeah.
So last year I just had one drone flying everywhere, but since then. Now I got I got 1.5-inch that I use for freestyle, and that's my favorite one. And actually is in in maintenance since yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I burn the flight controller. So that's my favorite one. This is my favorite. Then, it's been a few months. I built I got to the 5.5-inch for the long range. So I just used that one because I'm bashing these too much. And the more I crash, the less I trust to go far away.
Mm.
So I just decide to get a proper one just that I use for long range. And so that's the Chris Strasser, the AOS frame, the Evo. I fly in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool.
And so that's the long range. And then I got 2 3-inch with the guard that I use more for cinematic, going to the rivers, in the forest. Sometimes we race with my partner here in front in the garden with the 3-inch. So we build a track outside and lately we step up, and now we got the Mobula. We got both my partner and I.
Yeah,
a little one to fly indoor. So we're super set.
He told me about that, like, after, he usually comes back to me in the DMs after an episode to give me some feedback, which now has become important to me. I'm like, I have to make sure he likes it. and he told me, oh my God, yesterday, Serena and I, we did something so cool. We finally got Mobula. And so you've set up a racetrack in your house. Did you have LEDs and these kind of things as well?
Yeah, so we Every so often we set up the tracker. So it's always different. So we put lights on. We got some proper gates. We also use some furniture as a gate, of course. And then
that's so cool.
Yeah, and it's amazing, especially with the lights, because you just shut down everything and you just follow. I'm trying to do like a bit like a make macro reactor, no? Inside with the truck. So it's super fun. Yeah, and it's super fun racing each other. And the only thing with the mobile is that you can't really record a good footage, because we're flying analog, so it's what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. But we know that. Like when I used to work at a hobby store, we organized racing through the hobby store of little drones, and obviously it was all analog. But when we were making little edits about it, that's okay. Like, people would give their goggles SD card, and it's so fun. And everybody would like, sometimes they would hate the gate, and you just put funny music on it. It's a different style, you know. You're not there to be epic. It's just more like silly and fun, and everybody's laughing. So it's the best.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah, and also somehow when you race, you get into it, like in the track, that it feels like, you're just, like a meditation sometimes. You just go for it. And the more you do, the more you're inside the track, you know?
Yeah.
So that's super cool. It's a super cool feeling.
And do you find it nice to have that kind of possibility to have another pilot with you all the time? Do you think it's a great advantage as a pilot to share that with literally your partner?
Yeah, sure. You mean it's like, challenging, like, we challenge each other. And as well, right now we have another friend that is flying the Mobula, and he's got the Mobula as well. So Dani is joining us, and we're starting to building our little racing locally.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. You guys are so invested in your passion, in the hobby. Every time I'm impressed. You know, you're always flying somewhere. You're always on a trip to go fly somewhere. And I'm like, you guys have so much energy. But I wonder, that's why I asked, because you're a couple. And I feel like sometimes, do you ever get one of you is not motivated, but the other one is, so you end up going together? Or are you always like both of you 200% motivated? Because you look always motivated.
We're quite in sync. Yeah. So for me, it's more like, a bit be able to be in the nature, and as well, do things with the nature, interact, so for me flying is just a way to escape from the, the reality, but as well, playing with mm-hmm. I love to stay in nature. So for me, going flying is, yes, let's go. So, and even if it's raining, we find some, activities like setting up the racing track indoor, or a building, or we really want to stay here and do a stock of all the things we have, because all the spares. And so I think we both are very, very excited just to go flying and to explore new places like that. So
yeah, that's awesome. I remember one of the best time in my life FPV wise was when I first moved to Melbourne. I first moved with my ex-boyfriend, and then we ended up meeting a FPV pilot who was a backpacker and contacted me on Instagram saying, at the time he said, "Oh, I've just seen that I had a job, but Kevin didn't, my ex-boyfriend. So He said, I actually work in this company, you know, manual labor. He said, they're looking for someone else. Do you think Kevin would do that? I said, yeah. And he said, by the way, I'm an FPV pilot. And then we learned that this guy, as a backpacker, was just living in his car. And we said, just come over. Maybe I shouldn't say that because we were renting, but, you know. We're like, yeah, just come over. So he ended up staying a little bit with us as a guest. And then at some stage, another pilot contacted us, a French pilot. Maybe you know him. He's called Cola FPV. He does a lot of jumping chase. So he was around Melbourne and he said, hey, I'm looking for people to fly with. And we're like, cool, where are you staying? I don't know. You want to stay at our place? Yes. So we were like four FPV pilot for a small time together. And it was just fun because sometimes me, I get a bit tired. It's not that I don't like flying, but it's like, you know, I talked about it with Zoe FPV in another episode. Depending on your mental state, you're like, oh, I really don't want to charge all these packs. And then if you remember a session where you were not motivated, you went out there, you crash first battery, you break something, and you're like, I don't want this to happen today. So that time of spirit, that happens to me sometimes. A lot less now because, you know, I got like a good drone, a good spot, a good buddy. But there was a time in the hobby when I was like doubting myself. And the fact that I had these three people always wanting to fly, or two of them wanted and the two others were like, okay, let's go. We're not going to waste a beautiful day. That was the best FPV time of my entire life. So that's why I was asking if you feel the same kind of energy with your partner.
I think this job in general, like you know, it's the opportunity for you to meet new people, because we are pretty chatty, you know, on social, on Instagram, and so we know each other. And you know, when we go somewhere, we take our gears, and it's a way to meet you know, new friends. And so, and yeah, I think it's a great way to spend time. Yeah. So that's very important, and we also help each other a lot. So that kind of motivation and energy and yeah, excitement for this hobby. Everything is
That's good.
Super beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you know, the motivation for me is usually something hard. And also I like doing 100,000 things on the side of FPV. But this one, I haven't touched it since last weekend, I think. Because I'm just changing my KISS FC to KISS FC Ultra. And so all I've done so far is getting rid of the parts I didn't need anymore, flashing the new firmware, and then it's been like here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I should start wiring it. And because I'm on my own, sometimes I'm like, I can do this tomorrow. And like I told you before we started recording, sometimes I expect having rest days, and then it gets changed last minute with work. So it's very easy to break my motivation as well with not having a consistent routine. But hopefully this one will be ready when you come to Melbourne. Otherwise, I can't fly because that's my only drone.
Fantastic. So
it has to be.
It will be. It will be for sure.
Yeah, you guys are currently my motivation through your content and through your travel. I'm like, shit, it needs to be ready on time. So yes,
you have to be ready.
yeah
that's awesome.
So when you will come, actually, we used to have a bando, but unfortunately it's been a little bit same, I think. There's been crimes there, not necessarily people getting killed, maybe, I don't know, but definitely crime. So they fenced everything, and I think they're gonna destroy it, so unfortunately we won't be able to go to this one. But I think it would be good to take you to what is a sort of office park, and it's in an industrial zone. So, you know, when it's Sundays, there's no one there because no one's working there. There's only a cafe, but I think it's closed on Sundays. So it's just fun. It's not really bendo, but there's like a nice structure. And I hope that, I haven't flown that spot for ages, so I'm really hoping to go there. It's one of my favorite spots that we used to go all the time with the boys that I just talked about earlier. So that's the plan.
Wow.
Yeah, hopefully
looking
it's going
to
be fun. Yes.
Yes, it will.
It will be. I had another question for you in general about, I don't think it's going to be necessarily FPV question, but, you know, you and I share the fact that we're both from Europe, coming to Australia. What do you think about living in Australia and especially being an FPV pilot in Australia compared to what you used to know or you wish you had if you were somewhere else?
So, well, regarding living in Australia, I feel like everything is so much easier than Europe. Really, as soon as you get out of the door, you know, everything's come together super easy, and it's a great country, and also super, you know, super friendly. I'm feeling really at home. As a pilot, I feel like the community is a bit spread out. Feel like probably comparing to Italy, not that there are no rules in Italy, but it's easier to break the rule. So my memories is, you know, having so much fun flying in a spot that I couldn't normally fly here, because obviously we can't really fly buildings, or, you know, so trying to stay away from people and so on. So I feel like that from my personal experience, I had like a good band of time. As I mentioned before, in Italy, and here is more the hobby is more in the nature, and flying amazing places, and so that's also anyway, so it is a different
it is, and very different.
No, I say obviously the distance as well is if I want to fly with you, obviously it's not a weekend thing.
Yes, totally.
So everything is a bit harder just to meet new pilots.
So true. And like, I'm glad we're actually meeting each other. We've been talking a little bit anyway for a few months. But there's someone else that I'm supposed to go visit. And it's Kenworth, you know? But he's like 7 or 8 hours drive from me or something like this, if not more. And I've met him in real life, but at the time it was not a good day for flying. I don't know if my fleet was ready, and I was like, no, it's not happening. So we met, but we didn't fly, and I'm meant to go his way. But I totally agree with everything he said, you know, the distance, the fact that the rules are hard. And that brings me to a little thing I wanted to tell you, because I know you know Trilly FPV from the past.
Yes, I met her,
And so recently on her Instagram, she shared a sort of medium longish range video. I think it's probably medium, where she's flying around a castle or something. And people were like, oh my God, what a location. And I was like, yeah, well, that's definitely Europe.
Exactly. When I see all these amazing videos in Europe, and I say, okay, well, I'm super jealous, but really is a bit different.
Which is why you end up doing long range. And if you like wildlife and nature in Australia, not wildlife, because from a distance, I suppose, but nature is okay. But that's true. If you like close proximity or bandos, that's where it starts getting hard, I suppose. In terms of flying normal freestyle, what's your style of freestyle?
Good question. I really love to really yeah, proximity going really low, flying low. I'm not really best at doing tricks or things like that. I'm starting introducing a few tricks, in my flights. But sometimes I just like to, jumping from a tree to another, power loop. Flip in between things. So it's more how I go. So but really naturally, flying. So, yeah. But yeah, I really like staying low, go fast and low. And so yeah. I don't know what's the style about.
No, I think I get what you mean. It's do you like because it's funny, this morning I was on a Facebook group and reading posts, and someone was like, why do people put GoPros on their drones? And that's when I remember that there's a bit two type of pilots in our community. There's the ones who fly and never watch anything again, and there's people who record and then watch everything for the memories. Which side do you go?
Okay. That's a good one. So, it depends. So, if I'm flying a spot that, super beautiful, amazing waterfall, mountain, then, okay, I need to go watch my video, make the edit, and maybe if I fly freestyle in my local park, where we used to go, every week, every so often. Sometimes I don't even put the GoPro on because I just want to practice. I just want my drone to be super light, I just want to enjoy and have fun. And maybe after a few flights, I'll put the GoPro because, I start, maybe getting some lines and maybe I want to record it and watch it later. But to be honest, I'm a bit lazy on editing the videos. Yeah. I don't know because I stay on computer all day just for my work. So really for me, FPV is just going out and fly. So sometimes, I watch the videos, but then I end up not editing the video. So I have so many hard disk there with videos that I never edit. So they are there. Sometimes I watch them, maybe on rainy days, and then this is beautiful, I make an edit. So it depends on the mood and not like my partner that is editing all the videos, so it's really good on that because he loves that. So
well, that's good. It means you really enjoy the moment. I'm a bit part of both side. I will put a camera on the drone and I will do an edit, but while I'm flying, I actually don't care. I don't think about, oh my God, I need to do this or that for the camera. There was a time where I was a bit stressed when, I wanted to do a lot of YouTube, and I felt like I had to film and do crazy things and go to good location. But that's different. That's when you start separating the hobby of flying and content creating, which I realized made me FPV less. That's why I reduced a lot the content creating, and now I'm just going flying and I share anything. If I crash or if I break a propeller and I can't find my props, I'm like, I'm gonna film this because it's silly, and and this is what happens. And then I laugh more, and I prefer those memories of these random flights when something happened, I feel like, and maybe it's more what happens now with people who used to put cameras, it had to be that exciting footage, and it's divided now. You see epic footage on Instagram, and then I feel like then you have people sharing silly things, and because that's just what happens.
Sometimes it depends, sometimes you just enjoy fly, and sometimes you maybe to share the silly things you do, and then Yeah.
Yes.
It's a feeling.
Yeah, it is. So now your fleet is growing. You just said earlier, you keep adding more and more. You're definitely a FEV addict. I think we understood that. Do you have preference? Is that bad to ask if you have some favorite amongst your drones?
Oh, yeah. I have my favorite, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, guys. I have nothing with the non-favorite one. Yeah, the 5 inches is definitely the favorite one.
Yeah.
Because, is the one that you take for granted. So, let's say I'm coming to Melbourne to see you. That's the one is coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the one I always take with me anytime, in the mountain, above the sea or whatever, doing freestyle. So,
yeah.
And also I got the GPS on, so I can easily do freestyle and as well mid-range. So
yeah,
it's a pretty flexible. Yeah.
Yeah.
The my second favorite one now is becoming the Mobula.
Oh.
So, yeah. because I think it's enabling me to do more things, pushing more and do things that obviously with a bigger drone you can't do, going through smaller gaps or, trying few things.
Mm-hmm.
At home, really. So yeah, that's becoming my second favorite one.
Nice.
And the long range one, so-and-so, because I still have to experience more with that one, because it's new. So.
And so they're all on analog signal. You have none on digital, or do you have any digital?
No, right now I'm 100% analog. So I had one of the 3-inch, the small one, was digital, was with the Vista.
Mm-hmm.
But having that, my boyfriend and I share the same goggle, because we have one pair for both.
Fair
every
enough.
Time, switching between, every time switching between Vista and the Unito 3 was a bit a pain. So just, okay, you know what I do? I just fly all analog. I can't say right now because I haven't flown much digital, but I'm trusting still more the analog. Just because, probably I'm used to it and, I need to experience more, but yeah.
Yeah. I get what you mean. Do you ever get sick? I am asking lots of people. When you fly digital, have you ever felt a bit dizzy or just like noticed a difference in your flying when you were flying digital?
Not really. It's more that I'm a bit scared because, when the image freezes, that one, it make me, with the analog, if you don't have a reception, at least, you still have some video, bad video, but you still have some grayish kind of image coming through.
Yes.
So that make you feel more comfortable. And I got few experience on, with the digital of freezing the image and not knowing where I am. And so, it's more that.
Yeah, and I was only asking because some people said that digital sometimes for signal penetration and things like that is a bit better when you go far from you or something like that. And so I was like, oh, maybe your long range is different. Or do you have special antennas for your long range on analog, like that you have to swap?
Just the TBS, the long one,
Yes.
Not really special, no.
Nothing crazy so, with like a ground station and a relay. And
I saw some people with the big antenna on the goggles.
Yes.
I think Trilli got one.
Oh, really?
One of those big, yeah.
She always seems to have all the things. But, every time I open Instagram, she's opening something new. And I'm like, Jesus, how much equipment do you have? She's so prepared.
Yeah, she's always trying new things. And yeah.
Yes, she's killing it. The other day
I saw her with a super... Yeah, super big battery. I said, what do you do with this battery?
Yeah, I saw that as well. I'm like, geez, you can take off a rocket with that. I will try to have her on the podcast as well, if she's comfortable.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be cool, especially if I tell her that you've been on here. I'm just chatting now. I'm just like curious to learn about you, and if people listen, like, good. What plans, like, do you have anything that you're looking forward to this year? Or, you know, I remember I used to be excited for special FPV trips or for new parts or for an upgrade. Is there anything like this that's happening to you soon?
Yes, so I don't know if it's happening because it's not in plan yet, but I would love to go with my partner in North Queensland. There is the longest waterfall in Australia, so yeah. I would love to go there and fly over there and, you know, really explore new places in Australia with the drone, as well as New Zealand as well, because I love mountains and
you said earlier you loved mountains. Which ones have you flown already, the ones that you usually go to?
So there is one in particular, it's not far from here, it's 1.5 hours, 2 hours by car. So it's in the border between Queensland and New South Wales. Is Mount Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And it's a quite nice mountain because for the shape, it's really a shape of a mountain, right? So and it's like there is nothing around, and you see this mount coming, and it's like a 1500 meter high. Mm-hmm. So it's it's quite nice cruising and nice there are some rocks as well, so it's if you see the mountain also is unreachable, so you can't really hike and go up there and recover the drone you lost.
Maybe
because it's super chill, and sometimes there are clouds around the mountain. Yeah. And it becomes very, very tricky to fly in there. And it's just exciting because we go there and there is no one. And we just camp, just enjoying the time, overall, and see the stars and, fly the drone in the morning. And,
that sounds nice. And people are like, why is she asking about mountains? Because what you have to know, if you're from Europe or America, Australia can be really flat. So I got excited when you said mountains, because people are like, why is she asking about mountains?
Yeah.
But it's hard to find a 1500 meters, thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super, super hard. It's like a bundle. It's hard to find in Australia.
Yeah.
So we get pretty excited when we find any kind of mountain around and easy to reach as well in the weekend. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we get excited when we find pretty much anything in Australia, because I don't know about you, talking about locations, it's actually hard because we don't have bandos. There's not really that many mountains, or you have to drive a lot. car parks are always busy. You can't find empty car parks like in America. We don't have big fields. Well, there's big fields, but they're a bit boring fields, right? It's just dry grass everywhere. In France, when I went back in October. When I went back in October in France, I was like, oh my God, a nice green field with a bit of trees. And I just had fun right at the back of my house of my parents. And I was like, this is beautiful. But maybe I'm just not exploring enough, I guess. And I can't complain. My local spot is 30 minutes drive and it's a nice park. And there's like tennis court on it. There's like an oval. There's a soccer field and it's barely used, so I can fly there. There's little trees, tall trees. It's a gem. Like, I'm so grateful my flying buddy said come over, because I would have never found it on my own.
Amazing. Yeah. That's super true. Like, it's hard to find a spot, and but sometimes it's just, you know, little rivers, just enjoying the little things around, little waterfall, and it depends.
I like asking people how they find spots, you know, in general, because I'm literally curious. Do you and your partner have techniques, or is it just discussing with people from the community? How does it work for you?
We have friends flying, so we go, you know, we go fly together. So sometimes, someone know a new spot and, oh, let's go there, or let's aim to go there. You know, like, maybe it's really a new spot that we just look, pictures on Instagram. Sometimes we just, if you want to fly local, we just go on the map, Google map, and just look for fields, looking for gems. Sometimes we drive a lot and maybe we don't find anything, but it's just to go around and find a new spot. So, it's a bit of a discovery process.
Yeah. Do you have a
favorite? When we find a good one, we... when we find a good one, we come back and we go with friends, and
you share it. You don't hoard it.
We have a favorite one. And it's like it's called I make you laugh now. We call the spot Brown Snake because it's a field we went yesterday actually, and the grass is super high, and there is just as the grass, trees, a lot of trees, but the way the trees are put in the field, you really find some beautiful lines to do your freestyle, and it's amazing. So it's definitely our freestyle spot. And why it's called Brown Snake is because the first time my partner discovered the spot, there was a brown snake next to the car.
Oh my God.
and they jumped in the car with our little dog was there as well. Super scary.
Is it far from any city, for example, like where there would be a hospital?
It's super close to here. It's close to Ballina, and it's like 10 minutes by car, so it's quite next to the road, so easy to find. Have to know, but it's reachable easily, and a few months ago we went there, and we just stopped with the car, and a red belly was crossing. And we just say, okay, no, today is not the day to fly here.
Wow.
And then we stay away for months from the spot. And then yesterday we came back because we left a gate over there.
Oh, no, you have to go back.
Yes. And then we flew there. And It's a wild spot. It's super fun.
It sounds like it. Like, I remember when I was living in the Northern Territory with Kevin, and he started the hobby a little bit before me, because I had not seen what it was doable. I had not seen, you know, the potential. So he would go test his quad in the desert, and I was like, are you actually careful? Because they're venomous and dangerous snakes out there, and also the closest city 600 kilometers far.
Wow.
And also,
wow,
12 months after we moved there, we got told, oh no, the clinic doesn't have anti-venom. And I'm like, well, what happens if you get bit? Oh, you die. What? So, you know, that's why I was asking you also, where's the city? Because, you know, so yeah, it's very interesting. And that's something I didn't think I would be confronted anymore to, because living in Melbourne, there are some snakes close to rivers, but you can't fly there. There's too many either people living, or it's just not too many trees. You can't access anything. But recently I went to do a job that was an FPV, but it was drone related, that made me walk in paddocks and things like that. And I was with an environmental person with me the whole day, because it was the only person available to be with me all day. And he said, just be careful with snakes. And I'm like, yeah, actually, what do we do if I get bit today? And he said, oh, well, I'll run back to the car and I'll tie something around your leg and you will have to stay where you are. And then I'll carry you. And then hopefully the ambulance should arrive within 20 minutes. And I was like, 20 minutes? I don't know how I feel about it. And then it's 20 minutes back to the other city. And I'm like, that's 40 minutes. I started calculating. And I had to take off the next minute, you know, and do my job. I was like, I'm not sure I'm mentally focused now to fly a drone and do a job. That's another side of Australia, isn't it? Like, when we want to go and do the only thing that is almost available here, which is flying in nature, we have to think of the spiders, of the crocodiles, the snakes. Yeah,
that's so true. And especially when you crash and then you have to walk in the super long grass, or, you know, it's super scary.
It is, yeah.
And I'm always thinking, oh, luckily we go flying, like, you know, together with friends. And imagine just going by yourself in a field, you know, like super wild, and just put the goggle on, and then what's up? I don't know.
Yeah.
Around you. You don't know. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of a story that I almost forgotten. I don't know if you know Snake FPV, because now he doesn't fly anymore, but maybe you know his past.
I saw him. Yeah.
So when he used to still fly, we went to a spot, and I think that was still when Kola was here, or, you know, that's around this time. So probably 2018, 2019. And he puts his goggles on and we fly, and then suddenly I turn around and I see him, like, removing goggles and be like, I'll be back. And he goes in, like, there's a sort of, like, group of small trees, bush, like, whatever. He goes away, and I'm like, well, either he really needs to poop, or there's something going on that with an insect. And so I was low-key worried, and then he came back a good 5 minutes after that, and I'm saying, you're right. And he's like, actually, I got bit by a whitetail, you know the spider. And he said, I know it was that, because I was bit before, and it's a very specific feeling. Apparently, I've never been bit by them, and it actually crawled through his pants while he was flying and bit him on the inner thigh. And so he was like, I just had to go and remove my pants to make sure she wouldn't bit me more, because it's not super dangerous, but, you know, you can get a bit of a necrose and loose skin, and if it's not treated, like in the past people used to you know, have to cut their arms or stuff like that in the past, right, in the 1800s. And so the following days, you know, I told him, are you okay, are you losing your leg? And he said no, but he sent me a photo, And it looked like a palm-sized bruise, you know, like brown stuff. And he said, that's okay, I've put stuff on it. And I don't know if he saw a doctor, but he said it should be okay. It's only if it starts spreading that you have to be careful. But yeah, and we were just at a local spot in Melbourne, you know, just a little park where people walk their dogs. And in the evening, you have some kangaroos. So it's not even countryside, but it's insane to think that, you know, in Australia, this can happen when you go fly.
That's our what we have in Australia. And let's not talk about the mosquito and all that.
Do you have the flies that crawls in your ears and mouth up there in Queensland as well? Or that's the worst.
Not in the here. It's more but it's more the arm, the leg. You know, the legs.
Oh, really? Crazy. I don't know what's up with some region in Australia where flies literally go in your holes. There's no other description. So you're flying and then you feel like you have a fly on the cheek and then it goes and crawls up in your nose or it goes up in your ear. And I'm like, and then the drone sort of like starts shaking as well because I don't know what to do. And it's just the worst, like especially summer when it's humid. I don't know, these flies go crazy. I tell my buddy, my FPV buddy, I say I feel like a cow, you know, with like flies crawling. Actually, I have another story.
You can't really...
I can tell you quickly when my boyfriend was training in the desert for Australia for the National Day. He was training for racing. We had put a track with gates and I had to time him. But there were so many flies in the desert as well that I spent the whole time, I was in front of him and I was just waving nonstop during his flight in front of him so the fly would not have time to land and crawl. Because every time he was like, oh my God, there's a fly. And he had to beat a certain time to be able to qualify for the National. So I was just shaking. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? At the time, we were very early on in FPV. I'm like, we're in the middle of nowhere, wearing goggles, trying to beat a time around the track, and I'm just waving around my boyfriend's face to remove the flies. Like, we looked crazy. Well, look, it was very enjoyable conversation. It's already been around 45 minutes, I think. And is this your lunch break? Did you take a break to come on the podcast today?
So not really. I'm working from home, so we're pretty flexible. So, you know, I'll just say, okay, well, I will be away for an hour or so. I will be back. So,
that's good.
It's cool. It's quite good.
So, what do you do for work, if you can
no matter. So I'm a software engineer. So I start developing automation tests when I came here, and now I'm more managing the development team. So organizing, you know, the work, leading all the delivery process. So most of the time I work from home and just go 2 days a week in the office in Brisbane. So pretty easy and
that's good.
It's nice. That's why I spend so much time on the computer that when it's time to edit and I just say, okay, well, let's go fly, I don't want to edit now.
That's definitely understandable. It's good that you have the mobile as well at home, because you can almost be like, close your laptop and tell your partner, okay, let's race now. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. And I actually want to really go next summer, go to the office, really just fly inside the office, because, you know, obviously the guys are super excited and, you know, like do a little footage for them. And we have the little one now, we can, you know, do this you know, fly inside and opening up more places for flying. So
and if you take it to work, awesome. Maybe it will convince some people from there to be like, oh my God, I want to do this as well.
They actually super interested, and, you know, I would love to show them really, you know, they take a second pair of goggles and show them how it looks like, how it feels like. And actually, we now ordered like a screen like that. That was actually in a Joshua Bardwell video. And we can't wait to have this screen because it's beautiful to show, you know, someone that is not in the OB. Was the feeling maybe someone else will start the OB
you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the people start like that, right?
That's so true. Can I ask, actually, I forgot to ask you exactly how you started hearing about drones and all of this. How did that happen?
In Italy, we were working, Frank and Frank Citro was working with me, and we were like in the desk next to each other, and he was working in a project for a company building a super big drone, it's like a 10-inch. And actually was to take some measurement for the construction sites. So he was building this big drone. Obviously, I was doing something else. I was super interested, curious. And then one day he went out in the garden in front of the company and, test out the building. And so, you know, but then we started going out, and then I was watching him flying, and then I say, why not? I start to my first build, and then flying. So yeah, that was super cool. Super.
That's cool.
Nice feeling.
I often hear people saying, oh, women start flying because of men. But I'm like, men start flying because of men. So now I have a question for you. Have you ever made yourself anyone want to fly, or at least be like, oh, that's actually cool, and they got interested even if they didn't fly after that?
Yeah, so, well, I met like a few people, but they were already a bit into the hobby, so... I think in general, all the friends, that I show them, how it looks like, they say, oh, it's super cool, super cool. But then, obviously, there is a cost on starting the hobby, and, some people, start there with the simulator. I think it's a good thing to, show people around what we are able to do, and more people start in the hobby by curiosity, and by, people like gaming as well, and start with the simulator, and then starting building the drone and the passion. And then I feel like it's this hobby is like a something that once you're into it, you never abandon really the hobby. You might have some times that I don't really feel like you have a little break but it's something that never leave you.
That's so true.
That's beautiful.
That's so true. And just the noise of drones taking off, when it's been a while that I haven't flown, and I go and I hear my friend taking off, or I take off, and I'm like, ah, that's the thing.
Yes. it's like a drag. It's like a, lately I've been starting dreaming that I'm flying.
Ooh.
I'm flying the drone, or I'm flying different shapes of drones. The other day I was flying like a drone that was looking like a ball, with all the props around. I don't even know how I managed to fly this, but I was flying. So.
That's so, cool.
Yeah, starting like a dreaming on flying, so really, wow. Really into it.
Maybe it's your sign of starting soccer drone, I think. Have you heard about that? I'm not super well-versed into that, but Mako Reactor is a lot more better at this. And yeah, they're creating this ball of drones and people play soccer ball or whatever. Maybe that's a sign for you to get into that.
Maybe.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. Like, I've never heard anyone telling me they dreamed about FPV. Like, you're the first person that I meet and I talk to in real life, like, telling me I'm starting to dream about FPV, especially if weird shaped drone. I love that. You have great imagination.
Yes. I start dreaming and then I often remember what happened, and then I'll tell my partner, I dream about this. That was super cool.
It sounded cool. Maybe that's your next challenge. You try to recreate the drones you dream about in real life and see if they can fly. Love it.
Yeah, that was it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, Serena, thanks so much for coming today. I'm really glad we did this quite, chill episode. I'm glad to talk to another woman in this hobby, but also Australia-based person and with a European background. It's very rare to find all of this in someone.
Exactly.
So
that's so true.
Yes. So I had a great time.
And,
Me too.
I'm really looking forward to meet you in person and fly with you and have a really good time.
Same. And every time you say that, I look at my drone that needs wiring and I'm like, I need to finish it. The pressure.
Pushing me. Pushing. Yes.
I promise I will finish it. So thanks so much for joining today. If people want to look up a little bit who you are on internet, do you have anything up on social media or something like that?
I'm using mainly Instagram. So my Instagram account is everest.fpv. And I'm also on Facebook with my name, so Serena Martinetti. Mm-hmm. And a little of YouTube channel, but I'm not uploading. It's been here. So that's also Everest FPV in YouTube. So, yeah, I guess check the Instagram. It's pretty, up to date with stories and adventures. So,
Yeah, and on a personal note, like I said earlier, if you're a person like me listening to this podcast and sometimes you feel a bit like, oh, do I finish my build or do I go out to fly? If you follow Everest FPV or her partner or both, sometimes you're like, what am I doing with my life? I need to go fly. These people fly all the time. I have to go fly now. So you're a great source of inspiration on a day-to-day life, So thank you for that. I don't know if you do it on purpose.
Thank
you probably don't, but it really works on other people.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love it. We love to share what we're doing and our adventures. So thank you.
Thanks no worries. And thanks for coming. And thanks everybody for watching and on YouTube and listening to this episode. If you liked it, feel free to give us some ratings. If you didn't, please don't give any rating. And you can also share it with your friends. You can share it with any woman in the hobby that doesn't know about Everest FPV. I feel like I said, very inspiring figure, very motivated, very fun. And that's pretty much it. I have Patreon. I'll quickly send it. If you want to support the podcast, I have Patreon. So feel free to have a look there. And that's it. Happy International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Week. And I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Bye.